realized something just now. Jimmy was reading four lines on music, usually. He didn't know what he was doing, but it sounded the same thing as what they were doing. And he was watching the kids all at the same time to make sure he was hitting the notes and everything. And that just kind of tickled my fancy to realize how well they work together. So everybody that is doing that works well together. And I think that is just fantastic. And that's why I'm not in the music program. If I was doing handbells, especially the colored ones, I would take mine and say, oh, that's such a pretty color to forget to ring it. But anyway, it's great to have the kids. In our scripture today, we look at Luke chapter 24 first. As we look at Luke chapter 24, we look at the last verses there, beginning with verse 50. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And then over in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set for his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And he said this, he has taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him in their very sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going up, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. May God add a blessing upon that reading. As we think of today, we see in there the great liftoff. I'm sure everybody in here at one point or another has watched on TV, if not been down in Florida, when they actually had one of the rockets take off with the astronauts in it and seen the liftoff. And we've stood there in amazement, or we stood in front of the TV and we watched and we watched and we watched and we saw the first part blow off and we watched it until it just disappeared, haven't we? We watch liftoff. That is the thing. And I understand that down in Florida, that if you could be down there at nights or even in the day, it is something that is magnificent to watch that giant spaceship take off into the sky. Well, that's kind of what I think of when I think about the ascension as we celebrate today. I think about Jesus as he stood there, as he was standing there with his disciples, and then all of a sudden he is just being lifted up by God to ascend into heaven. And I can imagine the disciples standing there and just watching him and gazing, and after he disappeared, wondering, what in the heck is going on here? That's the story we read. This is what we look at. We think of it as some cosmological event. But actually, it was not. It was a commissioning. Jesus gave the Great Commission, and even here he is telling them, I have work for you to do. I have a mission for you to do, and I am leaving so that you can do this. And this is what he's looking into. It is a commissioning. The mission that Jesus had, including the power he did, it was being transferred into his disciples. And today he has transferred that same mission, that same power, that same authority. He has commissioned it to us. And we are part of the same thing as the disciples. In John 14:12, he says, verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. As I read that and I think about that, Jesus did great things, didn't he? Turned wine into water, healed the sick, raised the dead. He did all kinds of things that were great things. He fed with a little lunch box 5,000 plus people, right? Jesus did great things on this earth, but he's saying here that we're going to do greater things than he did. Now, how much greater can that be? Jesus says we're going to do greater things than he did, folks. My question is, when's that going to happen? When are we going to see it? If we look in our world today, Jesus has said the mission is for us to go and to do the same things he did. And that is what he's called us. Not only does Jesus give us so much, but he asks much of us. He didn't ask us to halfway do it, did he? How many of you have had kids that you had coaches that say, we just want them to play halfway? They don't really have to play the very best they can. Just play halfway and that will be good. God's not calling us to be halfway Christians, folks. He's calling us to be full-time, dedicated Christians. That's what he's calling us to be. He wants us to put our all into it. And today we celebrate the Ascension Sunday, and we hear this account. Quickly, I want us to see three things that will help us. First, Jesus finished his earthly ministry. Jesus is finished. Even before the crucifixion, Jesus looked up to heaven, and in John 17:4, he says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. How many of us can say that this morning? We can look at our Father and says, I have brought glory to you, God. That is what Jesus is saying here. And even on the cross, he's looked at his Father and he says, it is finished. I have done my job. Paul even states, I have run the course. I have come to the end. It is finished. Can we say that when our life comes to the end, it is finished? On Ascension Day, Jesus led his disciples out of Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. Tell me in somebody in this room that has not been blessed by God since they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not one person can stand up and say, I have never been blessed by God. Folks, we are blessed time after time after time, each and every day of our lives. When we wake up in the morning and we can breathe, and yes, it is pollen season, and yes, the account says it is extremely high right now, but we can still at least breathe, can't we? When we can get up and breathe, we know that God has something good for us. And while he was blessing them, he was lifted up into heaven and a cloud received him. As we look at this, we see this account. Jesus was being lifted up. Now, people have said, well, you know, it was some kind of a smoke screen. Magicians use a lot of smoke when they do these disappearing acts, don't they? Why did they do that? Because if they can have this smoke to blow up in front of them, they can disappear without you seeing them, right? Crawl through a little hole or something like that, or actually just walk away. But that's not the case in Jesus' sake. Jesus was being brought up in the pure daylight, and eventually he got to the clouds, and that's when he disappeared. There were no strings on him. There was no cables. There were no harnesses. God was raising him up to be with him. And these people saw this, and they became the witnesses for God. It was not a sad time because Jesus gave them blessings. It was a good time, a very satisfying time. It was now time for them to go out and do what they had been taught to do. The 3 years that he had taught them, this is what they were spent to do. And then they came up with this question at the end, being scared as they were. Are you going to restore the kingdom now? What's going to happen now? We talk about, and people have tried to figure out the second coming, right? We have so many people that have said, and if it had been true, we wouldn't be standing here now. The second coming is coming on such and such a day, such and such a week, at such and such a time, and all of this, and what happened? We're still standing here, aren't we? We don't know. It's not important. Jesus told them, don't worry about it. There are other things to think about right now. Don't think about the second coming. Don't try to figure out whether it's going to bring spring, summer, winter, or what. I mean, winter would be a great time because we're all shut up and don't want to get out of the house anyway. Summertime's a pretty time. We want to be outside, right? But God says, don't worry about that. There are other things to worry about. He says, don't worry about the times or the dates. He will take care of that. As we think about that, how many preachers have preached on the end times and tried to figure it out? It's not. On the TV show, Becca, Linda, the secretary or the receptionist there, always says this, where here's the thing, and then she goes on to share what that thing is all about. And I think that's what Jesus is doing today. Jesus is saying to us today, as well as his disciples, here's the thing. Don't worry about things you don't have any control over. You can't do anything about it. So why worry about it? Don't worry about things you don't have any control over. I have a job for you to do that you can handle, and I'm going to help you do it successfully. That in itself is fantastic. I have a job for you to do, and I'm going to help you be successful in it. Now, if you go to the bookshelves in the bookstores and you get a book on how to be successful, they will tell you how to be successful, but they're not going to be guarantee you be successful, are they? They have written these rules out, and they said, here, do it. It may work and it may not. For some, it does. But with God, he says, I will show you and I will help you to be successful, and it's 100%. You will be successful in the kingdom of God. Secondly, we see Jesus' continued ministry. What happened to Jesus as he lifted off? People were asked questions. How did the blessings of Christ's life, death, and resurrection survive the span of time placed in history? Is Jesus still working? How do we know that he arrived where he was headed? What is he doing now that affects us today? That third question, how do we know he arrived where he was headed, really intrigued me with today's planes. We had a plane that took off with a bunch of people on it, and they were headed in a destination that they never reached. We're assuming they reached a designation in the bottom of the ocean where the plane crashed, but we don't know. Radar, sonar, none of that can find this plane, But you know, God knows where that plane is. Because our God knows everything. And so we need to put our trust in what God has given us. We see all kinds. Paul says in Romans 8:34, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding with us. Where is he? At the right hand of God. What is he doing? Interceding for us, working for us. Mark continues to say in chapter 16 verse 19, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Another disciple. And then later, Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, he says, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So we've seen several scriptures and several different accounts of people that have said he is standing or he is sitting, he is at the right hand side of God. Commentators have said that the right hand indicates a place of authority. Jesus is at the right hand of God. He is sitting in authority of God. He is God. He has authority over each and every one of us. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he also lives to intercede for them. God is here. Jesus is in place at the right hand to intercede for us. We know he arrived because he told his disciples in John 14:6, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Holy Spirit. You see, folks, Jesus didn't die. He wasn't buried. He wasn't laid in a tomb, but he arose from all of that. He spent 40 days on this earth talking to his disciples and to others, giving them the commission that they needed to do, showing them the missions, and then he went to the Father, but he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. We're not alone. God the Father and God the Son are up in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is here with us. And Jesus is interceding for us. If that doesn't get us excited, what does? I mean, God has planned this out from the very beginning. And we know this. And then he goes on to say, when the advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The third thing we see this morning is the transition to the disciples' commission. This is really changed to say this. The transition to the disciples, which are you and me, we are being commissioned. After their experience, how did disciples make transition back to real life? You know, this has been a great ride. Have you ever heard somebody say that? It's a great ride, but it's time to get off the horse. It's time to find something different. Well, folks, you can do that all your life. The only ride that you can take that will last forever is Jesus Christ. That's the only ride. That's the only way. That is what he's saying here. They were standing there gazing at the heavens, and the angels that were standing there said, "Ye man, what are you standing here watching for? What are you doing?" And I can imagine when I stood and I watched that spaceship take up there, it was like, wow. And when it disappeared and it sent pictures back on Earth, I said, man, this is awesome. Who ever thought we could take pictures of other planets and send them back down here to us and see everything that went on up there? That's awesome. Gomer Pyle would say, well, golly. He was excited about it. They stood there awestruck. They already knew what they were to do. They had been instructed to go back to Jerusalem as God had called them to do. They weren't equipped yet. You ever tried to work on something and you didn't have the right tools? Yep, I see a few heads nodding. Then sometimes we have the proper tools, right? And it still doesn't work. Anybody ever take a wrench and use it for a hammer? Is that what it's used for? But we were too lazy to go get the hammer, weren't we? Why? It was easier to use that wrench. And isn't that kind of the way that we see today? We come up with ways that are easier to do God's work than what God called us to do. The purpose of the Holy Spirit was not just to make them feel good about their religion. It wasn't about to sing and to shout and to dance on their own little group, but they had a mission to fulfill in this world around. They were hurting and suffering people. Today they're hurting and suffering people. If you don't believe me, look at the news. How many of you get grossed out while you're watching the news every day? It's sad, isn't it? It's depressing. I mean, come on, what was the last news you heard about? A young boy asked a girl out to go to the prom. She said no. And what happened? He stabbed her in the neck and killed her. We're not seeing a world that is hurting, folks. That's a child doing that. That's not adults, that's a child. Where do these children learn it from? Adults. And so as we look at it, we have a mission to fulfill. There are hurting and suffering people all around us, and we need to. And this was their commission, to reach out and to touch lives. Folks, that's our job. We're to reach out and to touch lives for Jesus. It's not sitting in this church. It's not coming to meetings. It's not doing all of this thing. It is going out into this hurtful world and telling them about the name of Jesus Christ. If we did as much as that as we did in our meetings, we'd conquer the whole world. It would already be done, wouldn't it? We need to go out. But we also see that in this mission today, we have let Jim do it. I don't want to. I can't be expected to do that. I don't know how. Jesus is not worried about that they couldn't do the job because he knew they could, because he promised them the power to do it. Most of the time, our fears tell us we can't do a job. We're afraid. We're afraid to step out, aren't we? We're afraid to step out of our comfort zones. And then when we do that, we have defeated and lost already. Today, Jesus is not concerned that we can't carry out his work. He is concerned that we are not available to do his word. When you say, "I can't," it really means, "I don't want to do it. I don't really want to do it." All of us have different talents and abilities. Plus, we have the availability and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do it. We can do great things. Just as I was mesmerized by that spaceship, I can sit in church and listen to somebody play the piano or the organ or someone sing a beautiful song and just be mesmerized by what God has done with that person. Pastors that can preach, teachers that can teach in Sunday school, those types of things, taking children out camping and places like that and teaching them about God. Their desire was to follow him. What is our desire? Are we wanting to follow Jesus this morning? Are we available as well as having the ability to serve him this morning? They didn't know how the time, didn't know at the time of the ascension that the ministry would be lay people in the church. It was each one of them. We must find out what God wants us to do by asking him, then by stepping out in little faith steps, seeking God. Our prayers for one another should be, "God, help me to find what you want me to do. Define it for me." And then we've got to be able to say, "Okay, God, I've heard it." And then the next step is to make that step out there. Make a full step. We don't get a lot of cold down at Virginia Beach, but as a kid, I remembered we had a cold winter. And the edge of the river was frozen. For many of y'all, ponds get frozen, and some people even ice skate on them. This is one of those rare things down at the beach. But I remember walking down in that sand, and I remember taking that step, and I put my foot on it, and it didn't do anything. And then I started to put more weight down on it so I could pick that other foot up. I looked down, and as I put pressure on it, I saw the cracks begin. And I said, "Well, maybe not." I pushed a little more, and all of a sudden my foot fell through. Thank goodness I had the other one so I could step back. Isn't that how we do God? Don't we say, "Okay, God, I'm going to test the ice. I'm going to see if it's strong enough. I'm going to step out there, but if I don't think it's going to hold, I'm going to step back." Folks, that's not faith. God says, "Step out in faith. Trust me completely." Today, are you available for God? Are you available to do whatever God called you to do? Are you? Are you available to go wherever he calls you to go? Are you willing to do whatever he asks you to do? Will you honestly say this morning, "Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, and I'll be quick about it"? Are we ready to step out and to do? Allow him to speak to us this morning. We are his disciples. And to work and do his plan and the purpose, you will find that your journey of faith will be exciting and productive. When I got out of high school, I made a determination. Most kids look at what they want to do when they get out of high school. I didn't really know, but I knew one thing. I didn't want to keep going to school. My mother wanted me to go to college. She had applied for a couple places. I got accepted at a place. I decided to go to community college. I decided I really didn't like classes. So I decided to work and party. That was my job, work and party. I had an 8-hour job, sometimes 10 hours if it called for it. I got off and I partied the rest of the time. That was a good life. That was a great life. I was enjoying it. Or at least I thought I was. A couple of years later, things were going great. All of a sudden, the boss comes in and says, "We're out of work. We have no funds. You're laid off." 6 weeks later, everywhere you went, no jobs. We can't hire anybody else. Work, no parties, because without money you couldn't party. So I began to take a hard look. You see, I've taken the assessment test, and even to this day, those assessment tests says I am good with working and building things, putting things together. I differ with them now because I don't read their instructions, and what I try to put together doesn't match up what the directions say, and when I do follow them, they still don't do that. But you see, I was content with working construction the rest of my life. That's what I wanted to do. I started going back to school to learn how to estimate jobs. I wanted to build houses and buildings physically and on paper, and I was content. But when I got laid off, God and I began to have a little powwow. God says, "I want you in the ministry." Buddy, let me tell you, that was not something God needed to tell me. That was not what I wanted. I only thought you could do two things, and that was preach and sing. And I knew I couldn't sing, Jimmy. So I knew that one was out, so I knew God wasn't calling me into the music area. So that left preaching, and Lord knows I didn't want to go there. So I thought, youth ministry is a good thing. I like working with kids. I was coaching basketball, baseball teams. I was helping out football teams and stuff like that. I really love working with kids like that. And I thought, you know, that's where I need to be. God wants me in ministry with youth. I felt that call. I went back to school and took the scenic tour, where it takes most people 4 years to get through college. It took me almost 6. And it took me about that many more years to get through a 3-year master's degree program in religious education. Where everybody got excited about A's and B's, I was excited with C's and D's, and a C was really ecstatic. In fact, my wife will tell you, if I got a C in a class, we went out and we had dinner. We celebrated a C, you know. But I trusted God. And I've walked down some paths now that all I can tell you is God was in it. God was in it. In my lifetime, I have met some extraordinary people. I have met friends for the rest of my life. I got people that I know that are praying for me. I have people that I know that my life has touched. So my question with all of that today is, lives, are there people around you? Good Sales Seminar says that everybody knows 10 people. So if everybody knows 10 people, what kind of an influence do you make on that person's life? Are we trusting in God? Are we stepping out in faith? As we look at our economy today, as we look at our churches today, as we see even there bad news of churches headlining, churches declining, church property sold, church closed, as we see those types, we panic. We don't know what to do. But folks, I'm here to tell you, God has a plan, and it's not to shut the doors. It's not. That's not what he sent his son on the cross for. He sent his son on that cross to die for our sins, to free us up so that we could do his mission. Are we doing God's mission as an individual? Are we doing God's mission as a church? Let us pray. Father, we